The 18th chapter. It's interesting how we got that out of tribute, isn't it? 2 Samuel, the 8th chapter. And I want to... excuse me. I'm not saying anything to that. 2 Samuel chapter 8, picking up with verse 16, says, Joab, the son of Zeruiah. Who's Zeruiah?
David's sister.
So who's Joab? Was over the army. So Joab, David's nephew, is over the entire army of Israel. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. I want you to pay particular attention to verse 17 because this thing like to wore me out.
Was Joab the one that killed Abner?
Oh, yeah. He also killed Amasa. We'll get into all... I think we've already studied that, though, haven't we? A-M-A-S-A. Amasa. Who David made captain of the army because Joab killed Abner. And what happened when he came out to gather the army... It's in there. Zadok, the son of Ahitub. Now, this says Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were priests. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That can't be. Okay? Now, I've told you it can't be. Now, I've got to show you why it can't be. All right? Who was Ahimelech? 1 Samuel 22:20. Remember when David was running from Saul and he went to Nob, to the priest, to Ahimelech, and asked for something to eat, and he gave him the showbread, and he asked if he had any kind of weapon there, and he gave him the sword of Goliath. Who was it? It was Ahimelech. Now, look at chapter 22, verse 20, says, Now one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priest. So David said to Abiathar, I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me, do not fear, for he who seeks my life seeks your life. But with me you will be saved. Now go down to verse 23, or chapter 23. Go down to verse 6. It says, Now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, not Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar. Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. Well, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 17. It says, Zadok the son of Ahitub, Ahimelech the son of Abiathar were the priests. Who were the priests? Abiathar was the priest. Ahimelech's dead. Now, some people say Ahimelech was the son of Abiathar. Abiathar was the son of Ahimelech. Now, let's keep going with this, okay? 2 Samuel, we're going to jump over, and that'll be okay. We'll pick it up later. 2 Samuel 15:24 says, There was Zadok also, and all the Levites with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. Then the king said to Zadok, Carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you, here I am, let him do to me as seems good to him. The king also said to Zadok the priest, Are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimeaz your son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. Who's Abiathar's son? Jonathan. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness, and the word comes from you to inform me. Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar, who? Zadok and Abiathar, not Zadok and Ahimelech, carried the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. Well, we don't want to stop there. Go down to verse 35. And do you not have Zadok and Abiathar the priest with you there? Therefore it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Who are the priests? Well, let's not stop there. Let's look at 17. 2 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 15. It says, then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. You get the picture? Zadok and Abiathar. Well, let's don't stop there. Turn over to 19. 2 Samuel 19. Verse 11. So King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Who are they? Zadok and Abiathar. Don't stop there. Go over to 2 Samuel 20. Verse 25. This is the clincher. And I've got it wrong. Here we go. Sheba was scribe. Now let me go back up. Verse 23. Because basically it's given the same account. And Joab was over all the army of Israel. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites, or Pelethites. Adoram was in charge of revenue. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. See the similarity? Sheba was scribe. Zadok and Abiathar were the priest. And that's why it pays to study. Now go with me to 1 Chronicles. Chapter 24. Believe you me, this took a while to ever get this clear in my head, all right? 1 Chronicles chapter 24, and let's read the first 6 verses. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Why did they die? All for strange fire. Okay, God killed them. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests. Now, here's something that's often missed. There's a high priest lineage, but there's also priests. Aaron had 2 sons, Eleazar and Ithamar. The high priest lineage came down through Eleazar. But Ithamar's descendants were priests. Okay? Zadok, you can trace his lineage, came through Eleazar. Abiathar came through Ithamar. Now let's keep reading. Verse 3. Then David, with Zadok, the sons of Eleazar, right? And Ahimelech, of the sons of Eleazar, not with, of. And Ahimelech should be Abiathar there. Of the sons of Ithamar, divided them according to the schedule of their service. There were more leaders found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar, and thus they were divided. Among the sons of Eleazar were 16 heads of their father's houses, 8 heads of their father's houses among the sons of Ithamar. Thus they divided by lot one group as another, for there were officials of the sanctuary and officials of the house of God from the sons of Eleazar and from the sons of Ithamar. And the scribe Shimei, the son of Nethanel, one of the Levites, wrote them down before the king, the leaders, Zadok the priest, Ahimelech the son of Abiathar. It should be Abiathar the son of Ahimelech. And the heads of the father's houses of the priests and Levites, one father's house taken for Eleazar and one for Ithamar. Now, why am I so adamant in that? You study the entire kingship of David and you will find the only mention of Ahimelech as the priest is when he got killed before David became king. And you'll find that from that time until day after David died, Abiathar was the priest. Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. And you're going to find that Solomon removed Abiathar because Abiathar allied with Absalom. Did you get all that?
Well, it's two different families.
Doesn't matter. But you're missing the whole point. The only two priests under David's reign recorded in the Bible are Zadok and Abiathar. That were the two priests that served in the temple under David's reign, the 40-year reign in Israel. Zadok and Abiathar. And they were still serving when Solomon came into the kingdom and took over the throne. Absalom, Abiathar allied with Absalom. He and Joab allied with Absalom when he tried to, Adonijah, another of David's sons, when he tried to take the kingship in David's latter years of his life, Abiathar and Joab allied with him. Zadok, Solomon and Nathan stayed together. They weren't invited to the coronation or whatever of Adonijah. And then when Nathan approached, well, actually Bathsheba first, Nathan came and talked with Bathsheba, had Bathsheba to go to David, and then Nathan went in while Bathsheba was there, and then David proclaimed Solomon as king. And then before he died, he gave Solomon some instructions about he was to take care of some matters. One of them was Joab. One of them was Shimei, who had cursed David. And when Solomon came to the kingship, he took care of each one of these individuals, and he didn't kill Abiathar, but he removed him and made him go to work in the field. He would not let him live off the support of the temple any longer. And if I've researched this thing right, it's fulfilling the prophecy given to Eli. Sure, you have to understand that this Bible was written by natural men. It's just like, just humor me, okay? You can laugh at it if you want to. It's like me writing these outlines and making a mistake. I may have the Bible open, copying a verse, and miscopy that verse. It was done in innocence, you understand. And I can see where Ahimelech and Abiathar could have gotten switched around easily. Now, here's what tells me the truth of this. It's the context of the Word of God that makes it clear to me who was the priest under David's reign. And we have the genealogy that tells us that Abiathar was the son of Ahimelech. And when Doeg killed all these priests at Nob, Abiathar escaped for his life. Ahimelech got killed. Okay? And if you go over to we read that, what was it, 20, 2 Samuel 20 and 25, it says Zadok and Abiathar there, giving you the same account in the same book. It gives it correctly there. It says Zadok and Abiathar, not Zadok and Ahimelech. Do you see that?
That's interesting. I seen a special on translation
there. Sure it is.
I seen a special on it's got the title where the Bible came from. It said a lot of the Old Testament, when the scribes sat down to do it, they would be given different sections.
Exactly.
And none of them would know what section the other one had, so if one scribe got it wrong, his every section he had, he was going to put it down the same.
As boring as genealogies are, I have found that they are extremely vital to understanding some things. And read the fine print. You can just skip over these. Just like the tendency here is just to read Zadok, son of Ahitub, Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, that were the priests, or I was the scribe. Okay, now let's get on to the other stuff. What do we care? They're all dead now. What do we care who the scribe was, the priest was, and the recorder was? I guess he was the guy that documented the chronicles of the events that went on. In other words, everything that went on with the king was documented. Remember Mordecai? When he spared the king's life by revealing the two door guards, the porters that were going to kill the king, assassinate the king, it was recorded. Somebody wrote that down. I assume that's what the recorder was. In other words, he was the one that documented it down, sort of like a clerk of court that documents everything that's going on. You know? Well, that type of thing was done with the king. Today, you can use recorders and wiretaps and this type of thing. so much for that. So I hope you got something out of all that little tidbit of information, okay? So going back to verse 17, Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and allow me to say it this way, and Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, were the priests. This is talking about under David now. Sarah was the scribe. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over both the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were the chief ministers. Okay? Then when we get into chapter 9, you understand some time has transpired since David's come to the throne, right? A lot of things have happened. Chapter 9 says, "Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" In other words, he is asking his men, his servants, a question. Any of you guys know of any descendants of Jonathan? In other words, David's not aware of any. Okay? "And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' He said, 'At your service.' Then the king said, 'Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?'" Isn't that interesting? This guy hadn't forgotten his covenant. Let me tell you something. When you cut a genuine covenant, it goes deep. You never forget it. And he never forgot the covenant that he cut with Jonathan. You understand a lot of years have transpired probably between now and then. He says, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, you understand how it puts that? You think, well, why in the world do they want to write that? Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. Because they want to make sure you know which Mephibosheth is talking about. That'd be like using the name David today. Or, you know, John Doe or Jim Smith. I mean, you've got to really get detailed to know which Smith's being talked about, right? Well, that's what he's doing here. He's identifying. It says, "When he had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, 'Mephibosheth?' And he answered, 'Here is your servant.' So David said to him, 'Do not fear.'" I like that. In other words, Mephibosheth doesn't really know what David's wanting. And he knows that Saul was wanting to kill David. And David says, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake." Mephibosheth, I don't even know you. I don't even know what kind of man you are, but I know your daddy. I cut a covenant with you, and I'm going to honor your daddy. That's what he said. It's amazing, isn't it? That's exactly what God does with Jesus. And we're the recipients. Lame on our feet and don't deserve it. And he gives it to us, so just come eat at my table. Something, isn't it? And he says, "And will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat at my table continuously." In other words, not only am I going to invite you in, I'm not going to kill you, I'm going to give you your rightful possessions, and I'm going to bring you in, and you're going to be at my table just like my son. And eat with me. He didn't even know the man. He said, then, talking about Mephibosheth, verse 8, then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? In other words, this overwhelmed Mephibosheth. Why would you do that for me? I mean, the essence is, what worth am I to you? He called himself a dead dog. Why do you think he's doing that? Because he's lame. I mean, he's an invalid. What can he do for David? David's not interested in what Mephibosheth can do for him. David is interested in doing something for Jonathan. And Mephibosheth just happens to be the recipient. God's interested in doing something for Jesus, and we just happen to be the recipients. Pretty good, isn't it? And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may have food to eat. Now Mephibosheth's going to be eating at David's table. But what he's saying is, you harvest the crops and bring the revenue to Mephibosheth. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. So he had a pretty good work crew, didn't he? Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. So we know he was married, right? And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both feet. Now that's giving you what you don't deserve. And that's exactly what God has done for us through a covenant. Something we know very little about, and something we need to know more about. Yes. Actually, if you look at this, it's a forerunner. It's a type and shadow. David, in so much of his life and ministry, if you will, is a type and shadow of what was to come through Jesus Christ. Here the king is showing mercy to one he doesn't have to show mercy to because of a covenant. And you're seeing God showing mercy to because of a covenant. Really amazing when you think about it. We just need to know a little bit more about covenant, don't we? The Lord bless you.